This last week, Auckland's attention has been focused on the fate of a little two-year-old girl, Aisling Symes. There by her mother's side, 1 minute and gone the next. As the search widened, so did the speculation. We imagined the worst, snatched, abused, tortured, killed. Yet we hoped for the best, found unharmed and returned to her parents. As you know, neither of these was the outcome. Instead, she was found drowned in a drain. The parents were churchgoers and their pastor was impressive. He and the Rānui Baptist community, as well as numerous others in the neighborhood, surrounded this family with significant support and prayer. It was great to see and feel the caring connections between people. It made me feel like joining, signing up to the Baptists. For I too wanted to belong, to care, and to feel connected. I imagine some of the pastor's prayers would have been directed to that saving God who lives somewhere above, ready to intervene in human affairs when the right people call out loud enough and long enough. And you can certainly find that God in the Bible and in most religions. It's a comforting God, and one that many of us in dire circumstances, regardless of our beliefs, hope might come and save the day. Well, as neo-atheists like Dawkins and Hitchens would point out, God didn't save the day. Aisling wasn't found miraculously alive and well. Sure, maybe the outcome was better than the torture scenario or the never finding out scenario, but it still wasn't what was prayed for. God didn't intervene and rescue her. Were the prayers therefore pointless? I would emphatically say no. Although many of those prayers might have been directed at an interventionist God, the prayers were also having a more potent effect. They were weaving connections between all who cared and all who grieved and all who worried. For those who put flowers at the gate, to the police who worked tirelessly, to the communities far and wide who sent messages of support, bonds of compassion were being woven. These connections or bonds can be the source of grace. Indeed, I would argue that the connections or bonds of grace-filled mutuality and affection, whether in trouble or in joy, are the very substance of God. The love of the community that surrounded the Symes family revealed the love of God. The aroha and goodwill that was extended to the family will be the balm to aid their healing in the years ahead. Like a deep cut, the memory and scar of Aisling's death won't go away. But with the love and support of many, hopefully the wound will heal. Today we remember St. Luke, commonly thought of as a physician. And it's timely to think about health and healing. Usually healing is thought of as a miraculous cure wrought by a divine source. Such thinking is too narrow for me. Similarly, the limitation of healing to the insights and application of Western medicine is too narrow for me. There is a tremendous unheralded power in the bonds between people, in the gentle touch we can offer each other, and in the hospitable presence of the grace we can extend to friend and enemy alike. I'm reminded of a story recalled by Malcolm Caldwell of a working-class town, Roseto, in Pennsylvania, USA. Populated from its inception in the 1890s, right through until the 1950s, with Italian immigrants from a town by the same name in Italy. Roseto might have remained largely unknown, save for a professor at the Oklahoma Medical School called Stuart Wolfe. As chance would have it, in the mid-1950s, he was in Pennsylvania when a GP from the Roseto area told him, "You know, I've been practicing," this is my American take here, "practicing for 17 years. I get patients from all over. And I rarely find anyone from Roseto under the age of 65 with heart disease." Well, Wolf was taken aback. This was the 50s, America. Heart attacks were endemic. It was the leading cause of death in men under 65. Wolf decided to investigate. Colleagues and students from his medical school were enlisted. They analyzed doctors' records. They took medical histories and constructed family genealogies. The mayor of the town and the townsfolk were cooperative. The entire population was tested. And the results were astonishing. No one under 55 had died of a heart attack or showed any signs of heart disease. Indeed, the death rate from all causes in Roseto was 30 to 35% lower than the national average. So his team broadened their research. They brought in sociologists and members of other academic disciplines. They found no suicides, no alcoholism, no drug addiction, and very little crime. What was going on in this town? So they checked the diets. But the locals were cooking with lard, not oil, and they were eating plenty of sausage and salami. The researchers found that a whopping 41% of their calories came from fat. And nor was this a town where everyone was working out, running, doing yoga. Indeed, many Rosettians smoked heavily and struggled with obesity. So next they checked genetics. They tracked down relatives living in other parts of the US to see if they shared the same remarkable good health. They didn't. Well, what about the region in Pennsylvania where Roseto was? Was there something in the climate, the soil? But the two closest towns, just a few miles apart, didn't share the same good health. Eventually, the researchers realized that there was something in the way the people of Roseto related to one another, how they visited one another, how they stopped to chat. They saw how three generations lived in the same household. They saw the calming and unifying effect of the local church. They counted 22 separate civic organizations in a town of just 22,000 people. They picked up on the egalitarian ethos that discouraged the wealthy from flaunting their success and helped the unsuccessful obscure their failures. How people relate to each other and the bonds between people are wellsprings of health mental and physical health and healing. So when I read the Bible this week about 70 people in Luke 10 going out into the community, traveling lightly, offering peace and goodwill, communing and healing, I thought of Ranui and Rosetto. Rather than understanding the 70 as a bunch of delegated miracle workers delivering doorstep salvation, I understood them as normal people like you and me, building bonds of affection with those they visit. The grace, the substance of God is in that bonding, in that two-way connection, visiting, chatting, being with one another. Sure, I understand what biblical scholars say about the text, you know, the 70 and the Moses and the elders and the early church going out to spread the message. But where it speaks to my heart is in the connections, those bonds of affection and their possibilities for healing and wholeness.